Hi, I'm Maddie Hockaday, also known as the Anne of this relationship.
And I'm Holly Constant, the Leslie.
We love Parks and Rec. We love behind the scenes.
And we love each other. This is literally the best Parks and Recreation rewatch show.
We're your park pals.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy too.
Okay, perfect. Oh my gosh. Okay, well, we are here. And I think I've refrained from doing the 3-2-1 moments just because I feel like it's not as authentic. Do you feel that way?
Yeah, no. I like this better. It's a little bit more genuine.
Yeah. Okay, nice. So, oh my gosh. Christmas Scandal is upon us. And it kind of is perfect because I feel like the weather's getting a little cooler here and in many parts of the country. And so I feel like we're kind of easing into the fall / winter time with Parks and Rec as well.
Mm-hmm. So we're just having a little bit of an early Christmas, like an October Christmas by the time you're listening to
yes,
this.
Yes, exactly. Okay, so I do not have much of a recap from Tom's divorce, but I will, I do have a brief moment. One is we were talking about hunting, obviously. There was a lot of hunting talk. And we talked about how there is a season for archery. And we were kind of wondering like why that was and, you know, what the deal with that was. And I researched it and I didn't get like a ton of like information, but I mainly know / found a couple of articles that I was right about. It's for monitoring the amount of animals that are killed, or the amount of deer that are killed, rather, because not many people use archery, and even if they do, not as many are killed that way because like it's very hard, it's a skill, and so not many people can do it.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool. So, archery is actually, I think, a sport at a couple different schools here in our area. But I think,
wow.
I think it's like, you know, targets, obviously. You're not having like school children kill real things with right. bow and arrow.
I remember that's a thing. I'm sure it is in Boy Scouts too. But for Girl Scouts, that's like one of the things that you do at camp. Like if you want to, that's like one of the skills that you can learn.
Oh, that's awesome. That's really, I would love to be able to do it, to know how to do it.
Yeah. Don't they start you off small.
Yeah. Don't they have that in the Olympics though? Like where you're like snowshoeing and then you get down and maybe you're shooting things. I can't remember if it's a bow and arrow or like a shot. I think it's
a
gun.
I do think that archery is in the Olympics. You're probably right.
Yeah,
about
I know archery
part,
is.
At least.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. But anyway, crazy. It's a very cool skill to have.
Definitely. And it hurts apparently. Like that's why if you see archers, like they have that little thing on their forearm on the left-hand side of the, whatever.
So if it snaps back.
Because the arrow and everything can snap back and hurt you really badly. Like, yeah.
I believe it.
So scary.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much the only thing for Tom's divorce. Cool. And then the other thing that I was going to say is that, I'm really excited because, and I'm going to put this in the recap because I'm not super sure where else to put it, but April Eden, AKA, chair model lady, AKA Trish from Beauty Pageant, messaged me back on Facebook. I messaged her ages ago when we did Beauty Pageant and, I was waiting to hear back from her. And we started messaging via Facebook and via email. And she says that she would be happy to come on and talk to us. So I am super stoked about that. So that'll probably be the next episode that comes out after this one, obviously. But I'm really excited because I also told her that I wanted to talk to her about like her Trekkie / NASA, you know, science-y situation
yeah,
as
definitely.
Well. So I'm very excited to talk to her. But
Me
yeah,
too.
So thank you, April, for messaging back. Cannot even handle how excited we are to talk to you.
Yes. And now our audience has something to look forward to in next week, giving you
yes,
a little bit
absolutely.
Of a preview.
Yes.
Now.
Absolutely. So exciting. Okay. So, all right, Christmas Scandal, you guys. Okay, so this was directed by Randall Einhorn. Oh, my Lanta. This is the first Randall appearance in Parks and Rec. Because if you listen to Office Ladies or The Office Deep Dive or any of The Office behind-the-scenes stuff, you've heard Randall's name. You know that he's famous for being the camera operator on The Office and really being like one of the major backbones of the documentary crew, both for The Office and Parks. And he has a huge background in reality TV. Again, this might be all repeated information if you listen to any of the other podcasts or know anything about The Office. But he was the main camera operator in Survivor, which is what apparently, you know, attracted The Office crew to kind of reach out to him and the producers to reach out to him. So that's amazing because he also, now I didn't look this up, but that'll be my recap for next one, unless you know this, but I think that he probably directed or had something to do with the Survivor, not the Survivor Man, or maybe it was that one.
That's what it's called. I'm literally Googling it because when you said Survivor, I was like, I bet you anything. It was written, Survivor Man was written by Steve Carell.
Oh, okay.
But let me see who directed it. Paul Feig directed it, but the cinematography was by Randall Einhorn.
Duh. Oh my God, perfect. So, and then I'm sure he also had something to do, or like they probably talked about this and got the idea, because I think the whole like crew were fans of Survivor, but the one episode where they're trying to replace Michael, or Michael's trying to replace himself rather, when he thinks he's going to get the job in New York, you know, and Kevin just wants to eat hot dogs and lie on the beach.
Yes. Oh my gosh, that's such a good episode.
Oh my God, it's so good. But yeah, so that's Randall Einhorn, and he directed 15 episodes of The Office, 5 episodes of Parks, 14 episodes of Always Sunny, which I had no idea.
I didn't either.
Also, he directed The Mick, which has what's her face? Oh my God, Caitlin Olsen. I think that's
The sister is Elizabeth.
Caitlin Olsen. The one that's married to Rob McElhenney in Always Sunny. I don't think she's related to Mary-Kate and Ashley.
No, she's not.
Wanda, right?
Yeah.
Is that what you're trying? Okay.
Yeah, she's related to them, but I don't think Caitlin Olsen is.
Correct. I believe that's correct. But anyway, so Caitlin Olsen is in The Mick, and Randall Einhorn also directed that. And then he also directed Nurse Jackie, which I've never seen, but it's on my list because I've heard really good things about it.
As have I. I've never seen it either, though. I can't do doctor shows, though.
Really? How come?
Yeah, I can't do blood.
Oh, yeah. What about Grey's Anatomy?
Yeah, I watched an episode with my mom and I almost vomited.
Wow. So I had to walk out. Okay.
But I've heard such great things about that show, but I'm just like, I can't.
Yeah, interesting. So, yeah. That's so fascinating to me. Well, I bet you could still watch Scrubs, though, because they don't really show any blood.
I've watched almost all of Scrubs. Yeah, they don't really show very much.
Yeah,
it's more about the comedy. Whereas I feel like in Grey's Anatomy, the medical issues drive a lot of the drama. So it's you can't get through an episode without something going wrong. I could watch House, though. Did you ever watch House?
Yeah. I don't think they show that
No, no. It's more like the talking through.
It's more so analytical.
Yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with him and what can we do before surgery? Kind of figuring it out, you know?
Yeah.
That's so fascinating. Do not watch Nip Tuck. Oh my God.
Oh, I doubt I could make it. I think I watched a trailer once. It was on a trailer.
It is the most graphic surgery ever. I was like, I don't really love blood in real life, but even watching that, I was like, oh my God, I can't eat while watching this because that's so gross.
Yeah. It's so gross. Although, weirdly, fine with the gore in Game of Thrones. Like the gore I'm fine with. It's the where we're gonna open someone up. I told you, Holly, nobody else knows, but I had a biopsy on my shoulder this week and I had to look the other way and hold my breath because I was I can't watch them do this to me. I'm gonna pass out. So
do you have to do that when you get your blood drawn too?
I don't think so. Not when I get my blood drawn and not if I get shots. It's more the cutting skin, I think.
Oh, that bothers me. That could very well be it for sure.
Yeah.
I have to turn my head when I get my blood drawn for sure. Mm. Or if I donated blood. One time I tried to donate blood and it didn't go well. So, but anyways, okay, sorry. So, you do hear Huck in the back?
No, he's I don't.
Okay, so you guys, you might not be able to hear it right now, but shout out to Mallory and Ben because I am dog sitting right now. And if it sounds different, that's why. Oh, little baby. But Huck is whining a little bit right now. But he has the door open to go back outside if he wants to. He has water and dinner. I think he's just having a little moment.
I think he misses his mom and dad.
I agree with that. I totally agree with that.
I hear a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Poor baby. Okay.
I know. Also, back to Randall. Randall was also the main director of Wilfred, the one with Frodo. I think that was either an Australian one or... Oh, Huck. Huck. It's okay, baby. Come here. We've been having really nice moments. I wonder if it's because he hears me talking and he's like, who are you talking to? Should I be a part of this? Yeah.
I want to talk to him too.
I know.
Oh, little baby. Hi. Oh my gosh, I love dogs so much. He's beautiful.
I know, baby. I know. Here, let's get a treat. One moment, please. Hold, please.
Yes.
Who knows? Maybe I'll keep some of this in so you guys can understand what the life of podcasting is. Here. Good boy. Oh, my God. Side note, these are like, okay, these are called, they're not sponsored, but they should be. They're called Charlie Bear dog treats with beef liver. Oh, my God. He loves them. And you're being such a good boy.
He's going to be like, bring Holly back all the time. She gives me all the treats.
I'm like, can you just like be my best friend? Okay, I think that seemed to please him a little bit more. We'll see how long it lasts. Mm-hmm. Okay. Sorry, everybody. Okay. So, yes, he was the main director of Wilfred. Also, fun fact, he is the one in the desk, like behind the computers at Jones Studio. So we'll get there when we get there. But he makes a cameo in this episode.
That's awesome.
Yes. And then this was written by Mike Schur, which... Not going to go needs into detail no introduction. About that, dude. Yes. And then last thing I'll say before we get to the summary is this had the highest viewership of the season, which I read about when I was doing research on this, which was interesting.
Yeah, I saw that as well.
Yeah.
And that it got pretty good reviews. That's all I saw.
Yeah. Perfect. Well, now I have summary, so I am ready when you are.
All right. Okay. In the annual Christmas play, Leslie presents a made-up scandal about Councilman Dexhart that ends up being true. When Dexhart confronts Leslie, a new scandal is born that continues to tumble into more and more controversy. The Parks team bands together to help Leslie out as she navigates her new relationship with Dexhart, and we learn that Dave is planning to leave Pawnee.
Sad.
Sad Dave. Although not that sad.
I know, not that sad, but sad enough because Leslie. But yeah. I love this, though. This opening, this cold open thing is so precious.
Oh, I love it.
This, yeah, and there's so many extras. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. This whole, you know, venue hall
banquet
thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Also, Leslie's playing Dexhart. She's so good. I just love this. Like, obviously, she's a sketch artist from SNL days and all that stuff. But, right. Oh, my God. She's just, like, having so much fun. Everyone's having fun, which I love seeing.
I made that note that I was like, Tom is, like, surprisingly into this. Like, when he has his own little solo moment, I'm like, whoa.
Yeah.
That is some energy.
He is such a Tom. he, like, the way he's dancing around and, like, he has a little, like, nasally moment going on is so funny.
Yeah.
And even April. April's like smiling and laughing along. They're all just having a moment, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's a good time. I also, this is my question. Being someone who I know you've done theater as well. Like I have not done theater to your extent. But I played two different characters in a musical in middle school. And I had to change between outfits. And your hair does not stay that nice, Leslie. She looks phenomenal through each change. And I'm like, this is a bunch of flies.
That's funny. I didn't even think about that. But, you know, you're right. You're right. Yeah, they've got extra behind the scenes moments happening. Yeah. But speaking of hair, one thing I noticed, too, is that when she's playing Dexhart, Leslie's hair is poking out of the wig. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
I thought that was such a cute little detail because obviously they had time to do it right slash not show her hair, but they had it pointing out because or poking out just because, you know, they wanted it to be a little bit more like amateur moment.
Yeah, being put on by the Parks Department, right?
Exactly.
Like, she's changing into this quickly and, you know.
Yes.
I love how seriously Donna is taking this musical number. Like she's cueing everyone and she's like doing the snapping. I love it.
Yes, leading this choral moment, like snapping when they should end. I also love that Ron is on stage during this whole time, too.
It's not something you'd see him doing.
Yeah, totally. I mean, like, I know we've been saying that, you know, that everybody is on stage and it's like really, you know, not something you would think that everybody would do, but especially Ron. Like, come on.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Also love the lyrics of this song. I want to know who takes credit or if that was like, I'm sure it was a group effort, but still so fun.
Yeah, I'm wondering, because you said there's somebody who kind of runs the lyrics. I'm wondering, I think that's more for Mouse Rat, right?
Yeah, more for Mouse Rat.
So maybe not.
Yeah.
Maybe not them.
Well, hopefully when he comes on, Mark Rivers is his name. Please, I'll ask him. I love this inside joke. Prepare to laugh your ass off. And at first I was like, wait, is that a politician that I should know?
I literally wrote it down and was like, I need to Google who Asnov is or whatever. Yeah. And then she answers it for you. So
exactly. Oh, so funny. But yeah, and the jokes are all inside jokes. This is like what she's saying. But yeah, and then this is also, so do you have anything left to say about the banquet or the parodies?
No, my next note goes into our Winter Wonderland.
Yes, I love this. This is the first time we see Lot 48 so beautiful and used for something that isn't a pit. It's so exciting.
I think every town should do this. I think it's a wonderful outlet because a lot of there are also like families who don't have the money for decorations or things like that. And so giving them a community center to take their kids to like experience some of the Christmas spirit, I think is such a great idea. I think every town should have something like this.
Yeah, and it's so perfect. It's so family-oriented and community-oriented. I love how they talk about, this is kind of random, but I do love how they talk about how the tree is a 21-foot noble fir from the farm of Mr. and Mrs. Stephen Herbert. So specific, and I guess she's just giving thanks to that.
Yeah.
But I love it.
That's great.
I also love that she says, this could not have been more perfect if I'd planned it myself, which I did. That might be my favorite line. I don't know. We'll see as I go down. But yeah. I really, really, really related to that. Yeah.
I love it. I think my favorite line is in this first scene as well. Because this moment where Leslie's so excited that it's going to be broadcasted over internet radio. And Tom says, listening to the tree lighting is going to be dope.
That's a really big deal.
Yeah.
I know. So I love that.
Because she's so excited about it. But like, it's kind of like sports for me where it's like, I can't imagine going back to a time where there wasn't TV and you were listening to your sport. Like those commentators had to be so good at their jobs.
Yeah.
Because
detailed.
They have to like make everything so you're able to see what's happening. Right.
Right.
And so I think, you know, I'm thinking about that. What kind of commentator would they have for this tree lighting? So people aren't just listening to the countdown, but somebody who's going to explain what it looks like.
Right. And it also reminds me, you're right. I didn't even really think about that, of like, you know, when people would crowd around the radio to listen to like, you know, radio shows, much like TV shows, but on the radio.
Yeah.
So, I love that. And then I also really love, I don't think it was a deleted scene though, where it says it has to be a multidimensional event, not dimensional, denominational event because it's on public property or whatever.
Yeah.
And there's like a little folding table that literally just says Kwanzaa and Jewish and like no Jewish? Other details whatsoever. Oh, no. And there's like this guy sitting behind it that obviously does not care to be there.
Right. Oh my gosh. And that's interesting because there's another note later to religion as well when Dexhart asks if Leslie's a Lutheran.
Oh, yeah. So weird. Yeah.
Interesting. Two religious comments in there. But
yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
I have a very nice touch when we leave Winter Wonderland and we go back to City Hall. Uh-huh. There's a really nice shot outside of City Hall and there's a tree and it has no leaves on it.
Oh.
So I don't know. Cool. I had a question because I've never lived in LA. I lived in Phoenix. It was kind of similar. Do the leaves fall off the trees there?
Not in California. No, not like they would in Indiana.
Okay,
no.
So see, they put the thought into that.
Yeah, they did. They totally like did some sort of CGI thing for sure. Mm-hmm. That's what they do. Like when there's snow there, they definitely add it in after.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, cool. Nice to know.
Jerry farted in the Santa costume.
It was only farts.
I thought
farts.
It was so funny. It was just farts.
Gross.
So gross.
Oh, Jerry.
Oh my God. April says that Dexhart wants to meet at 9 p.m. at Boardwalk Lounge, which that's a fun name, I feel.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
Yeah. And then April's trying to get a gift for her gay boyfriend.
I love. So funny. First of all, if you're going to ask what to get your gay boyfriend, you need to ask Tom. Because
that's a great point. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, he likes the finer things, right? Yeah. So, and her boyfriends seem to like the finer things, right?
Yeah.
But she's asking, and I know why she's asking Andy. She likes Andy and she wants to have a reason to be talking to him and be around him, right? Mm-hmm. But it's like you chose probably the most manly man there besides Ron.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, I mean, it's just funny, like, he goes Brokeback Mountain, because, you know, and Assless Chaps.
Assless
which
Chaps.
Also, why?
I know.
And it's so specific when she, that's later, huh? When she asks him exactly, like, what would you want?
Right. No, right. I made a note like that too, which I was going to say, actually, I thought was interesting because that's kind of like, that kind of points to why she's talking to him in mm-hmm. addition to like, you know, I like him and I want to like be around him and whatever. But like, I think more so she almost wants to know like, what would he like so that, you know, she can get him a present and show that she cares about him. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? In yeah. like a subtle-ish kind of way.
Very subtle. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it is very specific, like signed Reggie Wayne jersey.
Right after a touchdown.
Right, exactly. And how is anyone supposed to get that for you?
Yeah, no. It's illogical, especially in December when the Super Bowl's in February.
Yeah, you're right. Oh my God, I didn't even think about that, of course, timeline. Ugh. I did look at this shoe shine stand to see like maybe what they sell. And I saw shoelaces, mm-hmm. which makes sense. It's a yep. shoe shine stand. And what appears to be chapstick, I think. I don't know for sure. And then some magazines. But it clearly like gets spruced up when April like joins the fray with Andy, I feel. Mm-hmm. Like when she starts selling his CDs and stuff there. I feel like there's a lot more like candy and, you know, fun things. When right now it's just kind of like bland.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. So. It needed a woman's touch.
Totally. Yeah. But April's so cute. She's like so into him and she's like trying to hide it so much. And I just love that the dot crew catches everything.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. That little walk off she has.
Yeah. So cute. Her little glance to camera.
Yeah.
Pretchings.
So precious.
Well, so now I'm at the Boardwalk Lounge.
Samesies. And I just have to say, like, I mean, we already talked a little bit about this when we had Kevin on the show. Uh-huh. Just a heads up for everyone who plays Dexhart. We have Kevin Simons. And if you didn't catch our interview with him, go back and listen to it because he was amazing.
Seriously.
And he just plays it so nonchalantly. Like when he's talking to her about the scandal, like, you know, I got the babysitter pregnant. And then while she was in the delivery room, you know, I was with not one, but four nurses. And then a wife of like a guy who needed a liver transplant. Like, it's just, he's so talking specific. About it like it's normal day-to-day stuff. Like, yeah. I would talk to you about, like, well, today I went to the grocery store and then I had to pick up some dog food and then I went and got gas. He's talking about it like that.
Right, exactly.
And you're just like...
So normal.
Yeah. What is going on? And Leslie's face throughout the entire scene is so good.
She's so shocked and, yeah. like, appalled.
Yeah. Which I think is what sells it to him that she had no idea.
Absolutely. Oh my God. That's so funny. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's interesting. I guess I didn't really think about like those two things with the Reggie Wayne jersey and this. They're both so specific.
Mm-hmm.
Like they're, and not specific in the sense of like, yeah, this one sentence. It's like five sentences about each individual thing, imagery and all.
We'll have to keep an eye out for other episodes that Mike Schur writes and see if that's kind of just his style or if they were kind of just playing off these characters in a certain way or something.
Yeah, that's a good call. That's a good call. So friendly reminder also from Kevin Simons' interview that this lounge is located in Valley Glen, Los Angeles. It is called Barone's famous Italian restaurant. We did talk about it on the recap moment when Chris was on for the Camel. So, but just a reminder, it is at 13726 Oxnard Street in Valley Glen. So if you live in LA, you should 100% try to go there. The only thing I was going to say, it really does look exactly like that. Like, I don't think they had to do much, you know, because it mm-hmm. already has the red booths. It already has like kind of the stained glass moments and white tablecloths. I think the only thing that they really did, I mean, looking at the pictures from the website anyway, was they probably made it looks a little more darker and maybe a little bit more like secretive and scandalous almost in the show, whereas it seems a little bit more light in on the website anyway. So I'd love to go and see kind of, but I mean, it is 9 p.m. On the show, as you know, when they're portraying the meeting, but you know what I mean? Like, it just has a different vibe, I feel, but it's still like the actual infrastructure and the booths and stuff are the same. So,
but yeah. No, I get that. And I was trying to attribute the 9 p.m. thing also to the fact that it looks like there's only maybe one or two other tables occupied at the same time.
Yes.
Which I was like, well, if you go to a big city at 9 p.m., people are like eating dinner and stuff. But we have to remember it's Pawnee. So it's things Pawnee. Are probably closing at 9:30 or something, you know, so that
totally
makes sense.
Everything's scandalous after 8 p.m.
Hence this meeting being at 9.
Exactly. I also love, like, I mean, we can say it over and over again, but these performances by both of them working mm-hmm. together is so good. Like, I love how she's stumbling over her words, both of their facial expressions. So good.
Oh, I agree. 100%. Totally agree. And he would never, because, you know, he kind of talked about in the interview how enamored he was with everyone, right? Like, mm-hmm. how nice everyone was and how, like, I don't know if he used the word starstruck, but like, you know, working with Amy Poehler and stuff. And he doesn't portray it at all. And that's what I think would make me a really shitty actor, because I would be in front of
like Amy in shock Poehler. The whole time.
Yeah. And I'd be like not being able to stop smiling or something, you know, and he just plays it so like, you know, I'm holier than thou almost.
Oh, right. You know? Right. Yep. So, yep. He totally had
it's
that.
Very well done.
Love it.
So, I have going back to City Hall the next mm-hmm. morning.
Same.
And Tom's greeting is so great. I don't know why Leslie doesn't immediately know that something's up, because
totally.
He does not ever greet her with that much enthusiasm.
I know.
But the sexy Dexy strikes again. Sexy that Dexy. Cracks me up every time.
Oh my God. My favorite is when she says in her way, no. Like, mm-hmm. I do that so much, and I don't know if I got it from her or what, but or if that's just like something that I don't know, whatever. But either way, I loved it because I was like, I do that.
Well, they walk across the courtyard, it looks like, and they go into this different room, mm-hmm. and it looks exactly the same to me. And I think
I
wonder if they just flip it.
Maybe. You're talking about like when they're watching Purd?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. Maybe so. And did you notice that there's like randos there? Like people that are not a part of the Parks Department?
I think it's a break room. And that's why, because do you remember the very first time that Purd was it Purd or Dexart? It was the very first time Dexart was on practice.
I think it was practice date, right? Yeah, practice
date.
Uh-huh.
And they're watching the TV and there's other randos in there. I think they're in the same room. I think it's a break room and, you know, people are just in there. And they have the news on. So I think that's the exact same thing. I also love that they say he's having an affair with Leslie Norp.
Leslie Norp. She's like, come on. Oh, my God. For those of you who have not or don't remember the randos, I took a picture of it. So hopefully somebody will reach out to me and be like, I was one of those randos, because I'd love to talk to them and see who they were. But they're probably just, you know, extras, because one's sitting, like one's at the bottom of the frame. Mm-hmm. And that's really funny to me. And then also this is a little bit random, just backing up a tiny bit. When she's reading the Sexy Dexy newspaper, I have a background catch where there's this like deer/reindeer technicolor multicolored statue thing on the desk, when citizens come in, and then there's like some little boxes that look like presents. I also took a picture of that because
there's a shit ton
cute.
Of presents in here, Holly.
Yeah,
it's almost every room. And this was another thing I tracked through the whole episode, was places that were decorated for Christmas versus places that weren't.
Oh.
So the Parks Department very much is decorated for Christmas.
Okay.
I don't know if that's a whole, and Mark's office has like some tinsel. So I don't know if it's like the whole building kind of got in on it, or if you kind of are in charge of your own office, because obviously there's more decoration in Leslie in the Parks Department than there is in Mark's. So I can see Mark being like, I'll just put tinsel up because it's Christmas.
Right. Like, I don't need this, but Leslie is like all about it.
Yeah. So that's one thing I noticed. The boardwalk place, I couldn't see any Christmas things.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah. I don't think they really care.
Yeah. Fair.
Yeah, that's interesting. Good call, though.
It's interesting. There are some restaurants that really go at it for Christmas and some that just don't. They're like, no, we're just going to stay the same.
I agree. And is it, or maybe multiple restaurants do this, but I think it was IHOP or Olive Garden in particular that like wraps their frames, like their artwork that's hanging on the walls in wrapping paper.
I've seen that before too. Yeah.
That's so cute. I totally forgot about that. That's a fun memory that just popped up.
Yeah.
I wanted to tell you really quickly about this deleted scene where Leslie goes up to her mom, Marlene, because Marlene is only featured in this episode at the end.
Right.
But she actually had a little bit of a bigger role in the deleted scenes. They had to cut it, I guess, for time. But so Leslie goes up to her mom's office and Marlene kind of tries to like help her, if you will, but not really help. I don't know. I'll let you guys decipher this, but I'll play
it. Marlene sees it as help and we see it as not. That's kind of correct. That's kind of the pattern I'm noticing with Marlene.
Correct. Hold, please.
Damn. It's been a long time since I've been involved in a good old-fashioned sex scandal.
You're not involved, Mom. I am.
I know that.
Look, what do I do? This could ruin me.
You have to go on the offensive. If you don't get your side of the story out, this whole thing could blow up like a powder keg.
So I should hold a press conference.
Exactly.
Give an interview.
Right.
And leak my diary so that people know that I never mentioned Dexhart. But the cover has a drawing of me braiding a unicorn's mane on it. That's embarrassing.
Here's the first thing you're going to do. You're going to make a record of everything. Then you're going to make a copy of all the emails that he sent you, okay? And for God's sakes, sweetheart, don't dry clean anything.
Mom, I met him for the first time last night.
That doesn't matter. Don't dry clean anything.
What?
She's like, oh my God. Wow. She's like so scandalous, meaning that she definitely had a sex scandal in her time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. Gross.
And I guess she doesn't want you to dry clean anything in case there are like incriminating fluids. Gross. Sorry. On that he basically choked. It's from grossness.
It's so gross.
I don't know how else to describe it.
Oh, boy.
But anyway, yeah. So Marlene thinks that she's helping, obviously. I love that Donna is excited for Leslie. She, like, slams the newspaper against the glass and is like, way to go, girl!
Oh, my gosh. In that same scene, so before Donna shows up, right, Anne's sitting, I think, at Tom's desk. Mm-hmm. And through the window, I couldn't figure it out. I tried to stop it, and I tried to zoom in. It looks like a skeleton. Is on the desk. Right. And then I was like, well, that makes sense if it's April's, right? Because April's going to keep Halloween stuff up. Like, that just suits her personality. But sure. But I was like, that's not April's because April's desk is right outside of Ron's office, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
where is the skeleton again?
If you go to this scene, right before Donna slams the newspaper.
And April is talking, or not April, Anne is talking and saying, like, it's a tabloid. Nobody reads that stuff kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Right behind her. It looks like a skeleton.
Okay. I'll have to go back.
If anybody goes back and watches it and you're like, Maddie, you're so dumb. That's not a skeleton. It's this. Please comment and tell us because I'm very confused because it looks like a skeleton.
But if we're wrong.
Yes. If we're wrong.
Then let us know.
Yes. But yeah, no, because it looks like a skeleton to me. But like I said, I tried to zoom in and stuff and I couldn't get a clear enough.
Yeah. Maybe they it was a missed, decoration from Halloween or something that they forgot to take down or something.
Yeah. Which is fine. I think that's normal.
Yeah. That's reasonable.
Sometimes decorations don't come down. My dad one year. It was the first year I took Ivan back to Illinois and I took him to my dad's house for 4th of July and he still had his Santa up on the fireplace.
Oh my God.
So it happens.
Yeah, it does. People leave their Christmas lights on all year, which I get also even more so because that it's
takes
hard
effort.
And
yeah.
Takes some effort and ladders and bullshit. So
yeah. I love Andy here. Where he
oh my
steps
God,
in and
so
he just
wants
to help so much. And he's like, there's been a lot of talk around the shoeshine stand. Like, she's good to go. I wouldn't do her. I wouldn't either. I don't know if that's like helpful.
Parks that he bumped him, Dex Hart.
Which I'm just like, oh, Andy, you sweet man.
Know.
It's not helpful at all. But
I know.
Fine.
And Leslie's so respectful. I love her response to this where she's like almost not sure what to say because she's like, that's not helpful to me at all. But she's like, keep your ear to the ground. You know, like, keep doing what you're doing. It's fine.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, you idiot, there's like no information that could have helped me in whatever you just said. So I really loved that.
Which is so beautiful because if you look at the way, if Jerry had said what Andy said.
Oh, interesting.
It would have been a completely different situation.
That is a great point.
So I think it'd be different with each person. Because
mm-hmm.
if
that's
Anne
so
said
real.
It, she'd have a similar responses to Andy. Or like she would say something like, oh, my beautiful unicorn princess.
Yeah.
You don't.
That's so true.
You're too
what
pretty.
A great like character and analysis of like how one would respond to someone else. That's interesting.
Mm, yeah. So
I do also love great. That. Yeah. I love that April says, do you want me to seduce Pert Hapley? April, I don't think it's something worth losing your virginity over.
Look to camera.
It's so funny.
I don't know. I just want to see if I could do it. why, though.
It literally has nothing to do with anything at all. But yeah. It's fine.
Yeah. Oh, well. I'm onto the talking head where Leslie says she's explaining where the scandal she thought she would be part of.
Yes. Yes.
And it just go ahead. Increasingly gets weirder to me. <I know. laughs> Because she's like, well, in my vision, I would have been the politician and the man would have been sleeping with me, which also is a very great point. That it would be seen differently. Like, I don't mm-hmm. know why she's getting hounded when he's the politician. Mm-hmm. He's the person in, like, up in society that should be setting a better example. Mm-hmm. Dumb. Mm-hmm.
He has a whole history of this. She I did know. Nothing wrong. Well, and he's the one that has a track record.
Right. I know. Like, this is completely nothing on her. It's on him. But everybody's focusing on her. Because sure. she's the new piece, right? Like, right. Dexart's been doing this for years. But, oh, Leslie's new, you know?
Right.
I hate it, though, because I think that's also like a, not to make things sexist or anything, but like that's just kind of how it is anyway.
Yeah.
Like, because everybody look at this. This is my example. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Aniston, Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie. Mm-hmm. I feel like Angelina Jolie receives more hate than Brad Pitt in that situation.
Oh, yeah.
When they were mm-hmm. both doing the same shit.
Yeah.
So, my yeah, example.
I mean, it's time and time again, you know? It's yeah. just repeating itself or rhyming with itself, I should mm-hmm. say. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so dumb. Hate it. It is kill dumb. It.
Anyway, in Leslie's fantasy scandal, she is the politician and the man is sleeping with her. Mm-hmm. And that man would be the vice president. And uh-huh. she would be the president.
Yes!
And I'm like, what kind of scandal is this? This is ridiculous.
I love that last detail where she's the president, mm-hmm. though, and like the person that she slept with is below her.
Right. I know. It's so good.
Oh, it's so good. So good.
Oh, man.
I love it.
Yeah. I'm back at Winter Wonderland.
Same.
Okay. We have a guest star here.
Yeah.
With the Pawnee Sun. Her name is Alexa Softcastle. Weird last uh-huh. name. In the TV show. Correct. If anybody has that last name, cool, because I've never heard it in my life. Mm-hmm. And she is played by Jillian Vigman, mm-hmm. who I, for the life of me, was like, oh my gosh, I know this person. And I put it together. She's a new girl.
Yeah.
She plays Schmidt's boss, Kim, who yep. makes him be in the Santa costume and yep. like the Santa costume. If you've seen it, it's like shorts and a Santa hat.
Yep. So, yeah, she definitely exploits his sexiness.
Mm-hmm, yes. So that's where I know her from. She's also been in a couple episodes of Always Sunny in Philadelphia. In Dr. Ken, that's, why can't I think of his last name right now? Ken Jeong.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh,
Ken Jeong's show. Is that his last name? Am I right?
I think so. No, I think you're right. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay. Uh-huh. And then
from The Hangover. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Ken Jeong.
Uh-huh. I love him. He's too. Amazing. The only reason I'm like, no, never mind. I'm not going to question myself.
Because of the politics, because of Korea. Yeah.
Yeah.
but no, you're correct. I just Googled it. It's Ken Jeong.
Okay, cool. I'm yes. crazy. And then I'm trying to read the last thing, but I can't read it. Super.
She was in Step Brothers.
She was in Step Brothers. I don't know what that last thing is.
40-year-old virgin also, and cool. Mad TV, which is awesome. I feel like she has a lot in common with Mo.
Mm, yeah. Yeah. I could see her playing Joan.
Yeah, I could too, actually. Yeah. And she's most recently in the new Star Trek series, which I didn't know was a thing, but I looked it up because she's been in it. And then she also plays a speed dating lady in 40-year-old virgin. Did I say that already?
You said 40-year-old virgin. You did not specify what she played.
Right. Yeah. So that's right. That's why I was saying she has a lot in common with Mo, because Mo did that too. But fun fact, I traded emails with a Miss Jillian. I need to ask her how she likes to pronounce it. Vigman. And
nice.
Oh my God. She, cause she was asking kind of like, she basically was like, you know, I would love to help however I can kind of situation. Mm-hmm. And so I told her that we were doing the podcast today, and she hadn't gotten back to me with like how she wanted to participate, like, you know, voice memos or just emails or whatever. So hopefully she messages me back, because I'd love to hear any insight. But she did say, oddly, although my husband is not an actor, he was in an episode playing with letters to Cleo. Remember when I think that's the, not the Harvest Festival, the Unity concert. And So that her husband is a musician, I think, in real life. And I don't know if he is really a Letters to Cleo musician. I was going to save that for looking that up later. But she said that she'd love to help. So I hope that she messages back with whatever insight that she has for us. I followed up with her. So hopefully next week we'll be able to have a recap with her in it. So that would be so fun. But I'm so grateful to her for messaging me back regardless. You know, super fun.
Yeah, that's awesome.
But I had the same thought about New Girl. That's awesome as well. Where I was just like, wait a second. What else has she been in? I love that. And I also love her delivery on all of these. Mm-hmm. Like, she's like, who's saying that? Leslie says that. And mm-hmm. she's like, some people.
Some people.
Yeah. There are a lot of extra deleted scenes, lines, where she asks Leslie if she wants to be referred to as a homewrecker or mistress, which I think is so funny. And then she asks Ron, would you care to make a comment? And Ron stares at her for a legitimate full 5 seconds. Like, there's silence in the frame. Like, there's he says nothing. And it's so good. I love it.
I love how protective he's being of Leslie right now.
Yeah.
Right? Because he knows... I think he knows that she wants to stand up for herself, and he's like, no, because I know this can get worse.
Yeah.
And I think he steps in, and it's really nice that he's doing that.
Totally. Totally. I also love this. So there's another deleted scene that I was going to tell you, where there's this amazing little moment where Leslie says, like, no, I'm not going to lay low. Like, this is when Ron is trying to tell her, like, you need to and Mark, I think, is saying this too. Like, I'm mm-hmm. not going to. You know, they're telling her to lay low. And she's like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm going to do exactly what I would be doing at this moment, which is making sure the elf costumes aren't too sexy.
Yes.
That's like a task on her to-do list, which I think is so funny. But she's like, I'm not going to be intimidated. And then she walks out and everyone has this moment of like, should we go or follow her? Because basically my point in telling you that part, aside from the hilarity of, you know, making elf costumes not too sexy, is that, you know, you get the audience gets the impression that, like, the group can't be really alone together unless Leslie's present. Do you know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. she's the glue that holds everybody together. So when she leaves, not only was that comment, like, weird and they don't know how to respond, but they also are like, what?
Now what? Yeah. She's exactly. the one that gives us direction. And I think this episode's, like, really beautiful because Christmas is the time to show your appreciation and love for other people, right? And mm-hmm. and I think people in the Parks Department are really starting to appreciate what Leslie does because they're having Absolutely. To take on her jobs, right? And they're not taking it on as one person. They're taking them on as teams. Mm-hmm. And, like, they're Which still struggling. Which is even struggling.
Crazier. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think especially when Ron has to – he goes to that meeting.
Mm-hmm. And so funny. And
Paul's like, all right, so – Ron, you'll be giving the presentation then. And he goes, yep. I think that's, and April's face is so funny there. She's so funny. Like,
and she's like casually eating chips or whatever the hell she's eating. It's so mm-hmm. funny.
Yeah. And I think my God. That's just a good moment for Ron where he's like, this is why we need Leslie.
Yeah. And this meeting apparently is about the organization of local auditing systems, which is so funny. I didn't reach out to Paul Reeves, which is the city manager. Or no, Paul is the
Phil Reeves, like, the right?
character name. Yeah. Is it Phil?
Yeah. I had Phil written down.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, either way, that's his character name. And so Ron and April are at this meeting about the auditing, and Ron's expected to give this presentation. And behind the city manager, there's these giant scissors leaning against the whiteboard, like ceremonial cutting scissors.
Great.
And I really, really want to have them.
Yeah. Can we order them?
There's so I don't know. Many, can we?
There's so many ways we could use those.
Oh, my God. Wait, now this is going to bother me about what this guy's name is, because I think his name is like, maybe his name in real life is Phil and or something like this. And hold on. Top cast. Hold, please. It's going to drive me nuts. Yeah. His name in real life is Phil Reeves. Mm-hmm. And his name in the show is Paul Iaresco.
Yeah.
Which I don't think we ever hear his last name, or at least I'm not familiar with that last name. So
no. I just saw that when I looked it up today. point to just triple check everything. Oh my gosh.
Totally. Also, side note, backing up just a tiny, tiny bit, when Ron is conducting this meeting slash telling everybody to go telling Leslie to like lay low at Anne's house, Anne has a bowl of ribbons on top of her fridge, which I think is really hilarious for Christmas. That's mm-hmm. a cute little moment. Yeah. And then I also just really, you already said this in, you know, certain terms, where I just feel like Leslie needs a raise because each team has 10 items.
Yeah.
Which, like, yeah. a part of me is like, okay, that is kind of Leslie's own doing, because I don't feel like she has to do all this, especially like Ron talks about doing crafts at the senior center. That's totally just a Leslie thing, not a Parks thing.
That didn't need to be done. Yeah, I agree.
No.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, maybe not the majority, but there's a lot of it where I'm just like, how much is she getting paid? Like, what? I know she loves her job, but come on.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so now I'm at where she is with Dave.
Yes.
And it's a little bit of a sad moment.
It is a little bit of a sad moment. He starts off being respectful of like what she's going through, right? And commenting on, okay, like you've had a rough week, that kind mm-hmm. of stuff, and leads it into telling her that he's leaving. Mm-hmm. And I love this. And I think your sister could relate to this because they're like, you know, oh my gosh, where are you going?
Right.
And, you
right.
know, thinking it's going to be this grand adventure. And they're like, oh, San Diego. It's like, oh. Like,
right.
No offense to San Diego, but it's not like.
Well, when you're saying that when he says that he's shipping out, you're right. expecting him to say Afghanistan or Iraq or something right. else that is dangerous. And then, but it's funny because her reaction is the opposite of what the audience is feeling, where she's oh, yeah. like, oh my she's God. Like,
oh my gosh. Yeah.
She's like really freaked out and distraught by this news that she is going or that he's going to San Diego.
Right. Yeah. Which is great. Mm-hmm. I found out that the reason Louis is leaving the show is because his show, Louis, mm-hmm. was set to air in 2010.
Yes, I saw that too. So he left to work on his show.
Uh-huh. Right. So
yeah,
that's just a fun fact in case people didn't know. I don't think it lasted very long, Louis.
I don't know. I'm actually not super familiar with it. I think I've seen like one or two episodes maybe, mm-hmm. but I'm not super familiar with it.
I think it got nominated for things. I think that's, he hosted SNL while he was on that show.
Oh, gotcha.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I didn't think it lasted very long. And I mean, certainly it's not still going. So I cannot, and I want to hear your opinion on this. And if mm-hmm. people disagree with me, I'm fine with it. I don't think I could see them ending up together.
No, I agree with you. I don't think that they're what each other needs.
Yeah, I think it's a nice little, you know, but I don't think he has the power in his personality to rein her in when he needs to rein her in. I mean, which we saw in the stakeout, or not the stakeout, in Greg Pakaitis, right?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't have the, like we learn later, Ben can rein her in, and Ben can help, like.
Or just, like, calm her, you know? Yeah. Like, maybe give her some more ease, some more, you know, peace almost, mm-hmm. where, and I don't feel like Dave gets what he needs in a mate with Leslie either, really.
Yeah, I agree. So, I mean, I think they were nice for each other at the moment, but I don't think, I like literally when she was leaving and he was asking her to go with her, him.
Yeah.
I was like, that doesn't make sense to me. I don't support that. And not just because I wouldn't want Amy Poehler to leave the show, but because I don't think they're the kind of relationship you move states for, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I agree with that. I agree. Also, did you notice that her coffee is basically whipped cream?
Of course it is.
Her whole cup is like full of whipped cream. I love it. That's so much.
That's not surprising.
Oh. But I also love that Dave thinks that the crew is asking if he's in love with the army. But
yes.
Leslie, that's affirmative. Yes. So precious.
Yeah, it is. It's great.
Yeah.
I'm back at Anne's house.
Okay. Let me see. I feel like I recorded. Maybe I didn't. No, I didn't. But there is a deleted scene where Ron actually gives this presentation. He's not saying much. Like, he's reading off this huge stack of papers, and then he asks April to help, and she's like, okay, yes. And then she runs out the door, and Ron has a talking head of him saying, like, turns out the reason why there's not a lot to do is because Leslie is doing everything.
Yeah.
Because before, previously, it might have been a deleted scene as well, where he's like, you know, it's really great being the head of this department because I don't really have to do much. I don't have a lot of, like, responsibilities kind of thing, you know, and he doesn't understand that the reason why that is because of Leslie. You know right. what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, let's see. So now I am, yes, I'm now back at Anne's house.
Okay. I also know that people said hang out at Anne's, but like, why are we putting Leslie 50 feet away from her job?
Yeah, interesting.
Like, they could have gone back to Leslie's house where she's not going to be like, because I put myself in Leslie's shoes.
Yeah.
And if I have something planned, and you're going to probably learn this in this year of our lives together. But if I have something planned and I've been doing like really planning for something and I have a specific way that I want it to look and everything, mm-hmm. I'm not stepping away from that and being cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, especially if I'm 50 feet away and I could just open the door and watch people do it.
Right.
You know, like I feel like that's the Leslie in my personality. And so I can't imagine her not opening the door and not running out there to, like, check on things, you know?
Yeah, totally. Or at least, like, looking out the window and, like, staring at it kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I could imagine that have been, like, that having been a scene or something.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, I feel like Anne's house is just kind of this neutral ground that we're getting to. Because I think we always had that, especially with, like, the pit being right there kind of thing. It's
true.
Just, you know, where we go kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Even for, that's one of my, like, favorite things, too, when they have the Freddy Spaghetti concert and Leslie's like, and they'll use Anne's house as a bathroom. Like, yeah, it's nothing.
Anne's like, what?
But, yeah, so, I mean, I don't know that it was intentional, but, I mean, this is kind of just, like, the
easy
neutrality, easy spot. So, yeah, but, yeah, totally.
I also love this, that Anne is being really open to hearing how Leslie feels about moving. She's not swaying her either way.
Right.
But she does have that nice little talking head where she's like, I would really miss Leslie if she left, you know? So
yeah.
I don't know. It got to my heart. Cause I was like, if we still lived in the same city, we would probably hang out as much as Anne and Leslie do.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't imagine going back to not having that. If
I know
you get used to it. You know?
Yeah, I see what you're saying, though, for sure, where Anne's just, like, asking her kind of questions just as a friend, not being like, oh, my God, if you leave, then it'll be awful and I'll hate my life kind of mm-hmm. thing. She's just like, so what are you going to do kind of thing?
Yeah.
And I do love that Anne has the, or Leslie has this line of not feeling very attached to Pawnee. And I kind of feel like this might be the first glimpse we see of her not feeling, like, appreciated for all the work she does. Because we definitely see that more when, you know, in later seasons when mm-hmm. she starts climbing the ranks. Because it's crazy that she's not even in a position of the, like you were talking about, really, where she's not even the one in, like, leadership role. I mean, she is in a leadership role in her own department, sure, but not so much with Pawnee as a whole. And she's still getting this flack. So it's really interesting. But then also, I keep forgetting which deleted scenes I recorded, but there is this one that I recorded, which I think was cute because they cut it a little bit. They cut that scene at Anne's house just a tiny bit because there's this cute little moment where Anne gives Leslie a gift and it's so cute and precious. And I'll play it now.
Mm. Mm. Well, I would just open that for a second. About this guy Robert Moses, he built like every park and highway in New York. It's like 1300 pages long, but it's supposed to be really amazing.
Oh yeah,
you already read it
twice.
But it's so thoughtful. Thank you so much.
I thought that was so
cute.
Yeah. And definitely makes sense that she's read the book already. And at the beginning when Leslie, you hear her say Anne has a candy cane taped to the top and she just starts eating that immediately, and Anne's
of course.
Like, maybe you should just open this first, you know?
Yeah.
And then before the I would miss Leslie like crazy, Anne has a line that got cut that says, you don't usually make friends after the age of 30, but I would miss Leslie like crazy.
That's great.
Which I think that's very sweet. Yeah. Because that's true. Especially close friends. I mean, my God.
Yeah, it's hard. The older you get, the harder it is.
Adult friendships are really hard.
Yeah. That's so true.
But now I'm at the case of beer to sanitation. And how they skim right over it.
Oh. I don't know if I had any notes there. Because the next thing I have is Mark talking to Tom about the gift he's getting Anne.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's in the same kind of scene where they're walking down the hallway and then they were like, no, they can get their own, you know, cases of beer or whatever the hell. Let's go get something to eat. And then they talk about what they're going to get, what Mark is going to get Anne for Christmas.
Which I think it's great. He was listening to what she needs and he wrote it down. And I think Tom is a really good representation of rom-com.
Yeah, right? Totally.
He is like the embodiment of what we watch in romantic comedies, what we read in our romance novels, like the frilly glam part of love, right? But it's not always like that. And that's actually what's really cool about it, is it is just everyday life and someone wanting to make your life easier. And that's what Mark is doing there. He's like, she needs a laptop case and I know this is going to help her days go by smoothly. So he's like, it's a really thoughtful gift, but I think it's the difference between like real love and embellished TV love, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying. And I totally see both sides of this. Like, I love that Mark remembered this, but then Tom's saying to be glamorous. So maybe if like he had the budget, I'd get a computer bag and something more special. Yeah, but like I know that like probably. Something. Yeah, but that's probably too much to ask.
Well, and she loves it in the end, too.
Yeah, absolutely. It and like you said, it is going to be helpful, make her days go by nicer. But there's a deleted scene where Tom says that Mark should spend at least $1,000 on the diamonds or whatever Mark is going to get her. And it just kind of shows that also Tom doesn't know Anne, number one.
Right.
I don't know that. I mean, Amen. Anne would be like, okay, sure. This is wonderful. Of course, I'm so grateful. But like, that's not what Anne's like, you know, living and breathing by. Mm-hmm. And then B, I don't feel like he really knows like, I guess, down to earth women at all, maybe? Question mark?
Or money. This or is money. Why Entertainment 720 goes down the drain, because he doesn't know how to manage money. And he's like, spend $1,000. I get presents for almost everyone every year. And I at least get like 4 or 5 for my immediate family. And I've never spent $1,000. Like, no. So I don't know what his budget is, but like, they're city unrealistic. Employees. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, and you're totally right that Anne doesn't want that. Like, I think Anne would be appalled if she heard that he spent $1,000 on diamonds.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, the blood diamond comment.
Oh my God, that's so funny. I've never seen that movie, but you know, obviously I've heard about it and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
No.
Did you say?
No. Oh, okay. Just some people, if you don't know, the premise of the story is mining diamonds in African war zones. So that's like the gist of it, which is like not right. That's why they call it blood diamonds. So
correct.
That's what
it's like super corrupt.
Tom's comment.
Which is why he's like, even the leftist ones like would say, give me that blood diamond, the more blood the better kind of situation.
Right.
Right. But yeah, that's a very real thing. So be careful when you buy diamonds, I suppose. Now I'm at Joan Calamezzo and she's like talking to this one fellow.
Why are we microanalyzing every freaking movement Leslie has?
I know. Makes they me are so picking mad. Apart one tiny second of when she was just near him in a press conference from like 100,000 bajillion years ago.
Yeah.
It's so funny because it's so real. And she touches her hands to her hips to like readjust her pants. And they say it's like she's signaling for childbearing. Oh, my God. So sad how accurate and like how the news cycle just picks everything up. And like especially women picking apart other women. It's just like so sad.
It's a beautiful representation of what our media does. I will give it that. Don't get the comment about the childbearing, because I doubt that's what Dexhart's looking for. He's got enough kids already.
Basically, that just represents she wants to do it.
Right. That was the PG way of saying that.
Right.
But I feel like, I mean, obviously they're finding stuff, right? But like, that's such just nervous behavior. She's meeting a councilman. Mm-hmm. The man that's with Mo Collins / Joe Calamezzo, they called him her co-host.
Mm-hmm.
And his name is Donnie in the show, and he is mm-hmm. Jonathan Goldstein in real life, which we never see him again as co-host, do we?
No, no.
So it's weird it that they brought
like
her
in. It seems like he's more of like some sort of consultant, like, you know, specialist almost.
That's a better way to describe him, maybe.
I don't know.
But just in case people are looking him up, Jonathan Goldstein is also a director. So just FYI.
Yes.
What most people would know him by is the dad in Drake and Josh.
Yeah! Stepdad, to be accurate.
Yes. Although he's Josh's dad. No.
Correct.
Yeah. And then
you're right.
Yeah.
Good call. Yeah. So. He's been in so many things, but that's the thing mm-hmm. that... I and definitely people our age would recognize him for. I did find his Instagram, and he looks so different now. Like, he has a super long beard and long hair, which everyone has now, I guess, in COVID times.
COVID,
but he rocks it. And I messaged his agent, so we'll see if he is interested.
Yes, love it.
Yeah. Oh my god! Wait a second.
What?
I totally thought that the fellow that I was emailing was the guy who talks about the turtle flu, but I'm so sorry. I'm realizing this now. Jonathan Goldstein messaged me back too via email. I thought it was the other guy, but no, he did. So yeah, that's amazing. So he was basically just like, I'd be happy to do your podcast. How shall we proceed? So same thing with Jillian. I said, you know, we'll take voice memos, you know, we'll take emails, whatever you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see.
Yeah,
so
great.
Fun, crazy.
I would have a lot of Drake and Josh questions too.
I know, same.
It's like our era.
But anyway, so Leslie's face is hilarious. Like, her jaw is dropped when they say the whole like childbearing situation. It's so funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then this Olympics line too, like a kid from Pawnee made the papers for going to literally watch the Olympics.
Yeah, yeah. I love that.
I do too.
I think the next note I has is when he asks her if she's a Lutheran.
Right. You're like a glass of whole milk. What are you, Lutheran? Yeah. Oh my God. So weird.
I don't even want to know.
Wholesome, maybe?
Huh.
Or huh. I'm just trying to relate whole milk with being a Lutheran. I don't know. Wholesome, yeah. White, like bland. I don't know.
Yeah. No, I don't know. That's a better guess than I would have, honestly.
But these spy shots look hilarious. And there is a deleted scene, side note, where Leslie says to Anne, like, go get Dexhart here somehow. We need mm-hmm. to talk to him and figure this out. So that's kind of why, you know, he's there. Mm-hmm. And why you see all the spy shots and stuff. Yeah. He's expected in two different maternity wards. Oh, my God.
Just why?
I know.
Jeez Louise. Anyway. The next note I have is Andy.
Yes.
Yes. And I love how he's just chilling, and it's just the most minimal effort. Shoeshine.
I know. I have that as a note too. Shoeshine. Yeah. I've been thinking about your gay boyfriend all day.
Yes. So good.
I also love that April is just like walking by and trying to be casual, going to say anything, only going to say something if he talks to me kind of situation, which is such a move.
It's such a move. And I don't know if dudes can relate to this, but I can relate to that.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally. Yeah.
It's great. this is where he explains the Reggie Wayne jersey to her.
Right. Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
And like what all he wants to give her gay boyfriend. Spray right. tan gift certificates, trip to Germany, hip hop dance fitness DVD.
I love that last one. Yeah.
Yes.
Love that last
so
one.
So funny.
Now this next time that we're with the media, they're calling, you know, they have this picture of Leslie with Anne and Dexhart. Right. Mm. And it's the three of them. And this is the second time they've been called lesbians.
Oh my God.
You don't stand that close to, you know, unless you're a lesbian, which like, dumb.
Yeah, they're both like, don't say that. Don't say it. And yeah. then he says it. And yep. you're like, oh, God. Did you hear, this is a little tiny bit of randomness, but did you hear that fan theory about Captain Marvel and the black lady in Captain Marvel who like flies the airplanes that I can't remember the name of, and I'm so sorry, but like how they might be lesbians? And I was like, that is the stupidest thing to me, because again, it's like that same situation where it's just like, just because you see two badass, kick-ass, strong, powerful females together, they have to be lesbians. Like, yeah. Get out of here. Can we just like be fucking bosses? Like,
yeah.
Stupid.
Yeah, nothing against if they are, but like, don't make assumptions based on that, you know?
Yeah.
Dumb.
Totally. But anyways.
I love that, right, Leslie's kind of like, well, okay, I'll talk to Dexhart. Okay, I'm not, you know, and you had that deleted scene about her mom saying you need to do an interview or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But she's not going through with that yet. But I think the tipping point for her is when Anne gets involved. Like, when he involves Anne in it, I see a click in Leslie, and she's like, nope, we're going to step in and do this now, because now you're bringing my friend in it. Because I think Leslie looks at it as, I'm in politics, this shit was going to happen at some point anyway, but Anne's innocent. Like, she didn't sign up for this. That's kind of how I think she, you know, puts it in her brain. And I think about people like you or my brother or Ivan, like, if we were ever in a situation where I was in this position and I was trying to handle it, and then one of you was taken down with me, that's my turning point. Right? Like, okay, now I'm going to jump in because you're taking down someone close to me, you know? Mm-hmm. I don't know how to better explain it, but
that makes sense.
My thought process there.
Yeah. Totally.
Because now she's that's like, I'm going on Pawnee today.
Yeah, totally. Noble. Yeah, that's totally real. Yeah, Leslie calls Joan Station and she's like demanding to be taken on the show. She has this whole awesome badass speech prepared, basically. And then she says, yes, I'll hold.
Yes.
Which I think so is good. Hilarious.
I love that.
There is a Joan deleted scene that I was going to play for you real fast, too. Hold on. Yeah.
Of course. It is a veritable storm of information coming into the studios here today. I mean, this Leslie Knope is swirling through our city like a hurricane of sexualness and
deviance.
I've never seen the likes of this myself. This city has just exploded thanks to Ms. Leslie Knope.
That seems so improvised.
Oh yeah,
like a that whole thing of just seemed
sexualness.
Right, sexualness, and then what's his name is kind of chiming in, deviance. Like, this was after the lesbianism situation.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was just like, oh, Mo Collins, you genius.
I love that.
So good. But now I'm back at Winter Wonderland.
Yes, and I asked myself, is this a new day? Because it was dark out when Dexhart was there, right? But yes, it is a new day.
Yes.
They have not taken the beer. Tom and Mark have not taken the beer to sanitation, therefore the trash didn't get taken out, and therefore there are now raccoons
all over the place.
Yes.
I love this line of, I thought they were nocturnal.
No, they're 24/7 here.
And Ron's
here.
Like, not in this town, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Like, it's some Western
we need situation. To figure this out, because they'll hunt the kids for sport.
Right. Oh my god. But yeah, Mark and Tom admit to having failed / not bringing it, so they're gonna fix it somehow,
hopefully.
Yeah, we never really get clarification on if they did. I mean, it seems like by the end they did somehow, but who's to say how they did it? So,
right.
Because at this point, is a case of beer enough? Who knows?
Oh, I know.
So.
Which, why do sanitation need a thing of beers to do their job?
I know.
Someone tell me this. That's so dumb.
I don't know. We'll have to ask, that's sewage. I was going to say, we'll have to ask Sewage Joe if he has any fan theories, but that's different than sanitation, I think.
Yeah. It is, because when Leslie works the garbage truck, it's a different dude.
Correct. Yeah. Different.
Yeah.
Which hopefully I'll get that dude too, but we'll see.
Yes. This put things in perspective for me when we're at the forum, which, fun fact, at the meeting at City Hall, also here at the forum, there's no Christmas decorations
in either of those places. Okay.
So I'm not sure they were like, there's going to be so many people in this room that nobody's going to notice, or it's already going to be too busy for the eye that we don't need to add Christmas decorations or what, but there's no decorations in the forum or when they have that meeting that where Ron gives the presentation.
Right. Okay.
But
that's good to know.
This guy's worried about the swine flu, and that put things into perspective for me, because I lived overseas at that time. And so now I was able to like pinpoint exactly when that was happening.
So funny. I know. I think I skipped over that part of my notes. Let me find it, because, oh my God. Oh no, wait. No, I just hadn't got there. Yeah. I'm not worried about the swine flu. I'm worried about the turtle flu.
And then the bird flu was like 3 years before or something like that.
Right. And Ron's trying to like assuage his fears and all this stuff. Apparently he's listed as Lonnie, and they keep repeating, it's just so funny. They keep repeating turtle flu, like turtle flu. And Ron's like, turtle flu. And he's like, turtle flu. But yeah, that guy's name is Jonathan Spencer. So okay. I did email him, but that's why I was getting confused, because the other guy, Drake and Josh's dad, stepdad, is Jonathan Goldstein. So mm-hmm. Yeah, and then this line of, oh my God, Ron's having the public forum where I found a sandwich in one of your parks and I want to know why it didn't have mayo, and Ron thinks it's a joke, but it's not.
I know. Welcome to Leslie's job, Ron.
Literally. And is this like, I don't think it's our first one, because obviously in the first episode we get Leslie's, but like, is this the one, is this the first one that Ron is at that we've seen? Like the first town forum or city hall forum thing?
I think so.
I think so too. But it's just interesting because I don't think Ron has really been exposed to this or his citizens at all.
Agreed.
This lady's name is Karen Taliha, I think, because she doesn't have a picture on IMDb. So, and I thought maybe she just like stopped acting or something, but it looks like she's been in a few things if IMDb is right. So not sure why there isn't a photo. She probably just hasn't updated it. But she, this lady's name, like in the show, is listed as Muriel. I did email her reps as well, so we will see what happens.
Yeah, perfect. I'm at Pawnee today.
Yes, same here.
I love that Leslie's standing up for herself and she's like, well, why am I on trial? Why aren't you talking to Dexhart? And of course, Joan has to have her gotcha moment. And
right.
I wish we had the gotcha dancers at this point.
I know. One day.
One day. Soon.
I do love how she starts this too. She's like, sex, drugs, possibly. Rock and roll, question mark. Like, she doesn't, she's just saying like clickbait essentially.
Yeah.
And then this is where you see Randall Einhorn, right, our director, in the back. So he is playing like a PA type situation where he's at the desk with the computer. And I took a screenshot of it, so I will post that in our stories. But he is behind the scenes, and I think that's awesome. That's where his cameo comes in. And then we get to what you're talking about, like, well, you should be grilling Dexhart. Like, what are, why are you, you know, why am I on trial here, you know? Mm-hmm. And then she has her gotcha moment.
Yeah. And Dexhart just comes up with all this confidence that he's like, you know, ready.
Yeah.
Which is dumb. And you know,
he's so confident, totally milking it in his lie, you know?
Yeah. Well, it just, like, it also makes you, because I do this in real life, right? Like, if I know the truth and somebody's playing a lie really well, that scares me.
Right.
Like, as a, yeah, in real life. Like, so I think we should be scared of Dexhart if we're like living or in a city where he has pull, because like, it's scary that how easily he came out and sold that and tried to sell that.
Yeah, totally.
I'm also who says buttock?
On her left buttock.
Yeah, it's like, what? Okay. So yeah, because like, I've heard my grandma say it, but like, I've never heard anyone in like, you know, just typical casual speech use that term.
Totally. Yeah, I agree. And then the whole thing of like, when he says that thing of like, let's just keep our private life in the bedroom where it should be kind of situation, calls her sweetie. Ugh, makes me want to like punch him in the head.
I would punch him. Yeah. I am really proud of Leslie. It takes guts to pull your pants down. Like, you know, and obviously they would bleep stuff out for like live television, but still, that's like gutsy that she's like, no, you know what? I've got enough integrity that I'm going to show you that this is that. I think that shows where her priority lies, right? I'd rather show my butt to Joan than continue to live as his mistress in everybody's eyes. So, and I love how it's immediately considered no mole gate.
Yes, totally. There's no mole on Miss Nope.
Yeah. No Christmas decorations on Joan's set either.
Oh, okay.
Which is interesting to me, because a lot of times on television talk shows, like in like the news and stuff, around Christmas time, you have something.
Yeah. Or like the host will be wearing like some sort of pin or brooch or something. That's interesting. Yeah. Remember how in Kevin Simon's interview, we were like interested in seeing maybe what Mo had improvised or not improvised or whatever, and he said that maybe the "it's like I'm invisible" line might have been improvised. Well, do I have a treat for you guys, because the Queen of Pawnee herself sent me a voice memo, and I'll play it for you at this moment. She is super busy, so I'll talk a little bit about it afterwards, but here she is.
Hey, Holly, it's Mo. Let's see, real quick. I don't have a lot of time because I am working. No time to review the episode to know if It's Like I'm Invisible was an improvised line or not. It could be. I've been known to improvise a line or two here and there. Amy used to love to say, Mo's here, just keep the cameras rolling, because, yeah, I tended to have some extra lines to to add to the mix, as it were. So very possible, very possible. Fashion, Joan's fashion insight. We pretty much tried to put as much animal print into Joan's life as possible, because, you know, she herself being a fox and a cougar after all, you know, it was very befitting. But yeah, there's a little insight. Keeping it animal print as much as possible. Yeah.
Love it.
Yay! Thank you so much to Mo for sending that. Yeah, so excited. I mean, that was only a minute long, but there were still so many nuggets in there that I just really appreciate, and so fun. So I'm excited to get some, well, hopefully more. I don't want to push my luck, but I do hope that she will send us more things as I ask. And this was one of the ones where, I mean, she was showcased way more, I think, than any of the other episodes we've seen so far. So I was really paying attention to her character, meaning how she was presented. And I noticed her fashion, and I just thought that it looked so interesting and fun and so in her character. So I was like, wonder what the story was behind that. And that makes so much sense. Because this one is more of a subtle animal print, but it's there, you know, it's like a purpley kind of situation. So, but yeah, I love that.
Yeah. That's awesome.
So yay.
I love it.
But you're right though about the, she pulls down her pants. And again, I think we talked about this in Kevin Simon's interview, which, sorry if it's annoying that we keep interview or talking about it so much, but this was one of the big topics we discussed in his chat. But she doesn't actually pull her whole pants down. It does appear that way because they blur a lot of it to make it seem like she pulled her entire pants down, like so that her entire butt is exposed. But I think she just, or at least they say that she just pulled it down a tiny bit, and then with the blur, it makes it look more dramatic than it actually is. However, that being said, I do think that Amy Poehler is committed enough that if she wanted to pull down her whole pants, I'm sure she would have.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. If she needed to, she would have.
Yeah.
I'm back to Leslie meeting with Dave.
Yes. And speaking of being back to that, I felt like there was something that I was noticing a lot in the cuts of this. And I don't know if this was Randall's doing because he directed it and he's also an editor. But he's not so much of an editor, like not as much as Dean Holland. Mm-hmm. But I noticed that this was a very like jumpy, I feel, episode, in the sense where there would be like four or five lines, then we'd go back to where we were or a new person.
There was a lot happening all at one time.
Yeah. Absolutely. So like we'd be at Anne's house, then we'd jump back to Winter Wonderland, then we'd go back to Anne's house, then we'd jump back to City Council, and then we'd go to Pawnee Today, and then we'd jump back to the City Council. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like, I mean, I wasn't like mad about it, but as I was analyzing it / taking notes, I was like, oh, wait, did that just happen? Or, you know, where were we there? And it flowed together editing wise, I feel. Yeah, but it was just something I noticed.
Yeah, definitely. I'm glad Dave is like excited for her, proud of her, right? Mm-hmm. And Leslie tells him, you know, I can't go with you to San Diego. And I had a question for you, because how long did you live in your town in Virginia? Did you spend your whole life there until Boston?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's my question for you, because this is something I can't relate with, because as you know, I've lived in 9 states, 2 countries, God knows how many cities at this point. So I don't really have a home base where it's hard for me to like think about leaving.
Yeah.
Because it's been my whole life. How was that for you? Like when you were like, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go to Boston. Did you feel like you could return, or did you feel like, no, this is it. This is a big decision.
For me, I was ready to leave. So, because I mean, I guess it's a different situation because, you know, growing up there and then leaving to pursue my passion, whereas Leslie already kind of has her passion in place right. at the place where she loves and has been raised and everything. I think if I were to compare my own life to what Leslie's going through right now, it would be, would I have left LA for a guy? Yeah. Because that was more of a home to me, or like a home base to me, I guess. I mean, Virginia is still my home and I love it so much, but LA was more of like my like passions, my love, my joy, my friends, my whatever are here. My work is here, all that kind of stuff. So to leave, it was very hard. And so if it was for a guy like on Dave's level of commitment, meaning like not sure if I want to be with this person forever and ever, amen kind of thing, I think I would probably be in the same position as Leslie, where I'd be like, everything's here. And even though I'm not saying it, because it's probably hurtful to say out loud, like, I can't leave all that for you, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. But we're not there. That's not what our relationship is.
Yeah. Because leaving LA on my own terms was hard in and of itself. Mm-hmm. So to leave for another person, it would have to be a really exceptional circumstance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
So. But yeah, it's super cute where, you know, Dave kisses her hand and, you know, he says keep the ticket kind of thing, or there's lots of ways that they can arrange how to get her out there to visit if she wants. But it is sad. I love both of their performances on this. And I didn't say it at the beginning, but when she's having the initial conversation with Dave about, you know, whether she could go or not, she just like, and she has to make the decision, she has this sigh before it cuts, you know, she's like looking at the ticket and she's just like, and I really loved that. I thought it was a really good performance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I thought it was really well done as well. Mm-hmm. I have her going back now to the Winter Wonderland.
Yeah, it looks so great. Beautiful Christmas decoration. And then yes. these kids pull down Santa's or Andy's beard, which is hilarious.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I wish we had seen Leslie's house in this episode.
Oh my God, that would have been phenomenal and so much work, probably.
Oh yeah, yeah. And I can understand how they naturally didn't make it back to her house or whatever.
Yeah.
But she walks up and she says, the tree was supposed to be lighted up already. Is that proper grammar?
I thought that too.
Okay, yeah, it's lit up. Lit? Yeah. Isn't the tree supposed to already be lit up? Yeah.
I don't know. Lighted. Lit, lighted.
It sounds wrong to me.
It does to me as well.
Okay. Not alone.
No. this is when Marlene comes. This is when Leslie's mom comes and has the moment of like, you did a great job kind of thing. I messaged Marlene as well. Patricia, I believe. Patricia
Pamela. Reed.
Pamela, Matt, rather. Sorry. Got the P. I did message her and her agents and stuff. Haven't heard back yet. So hopefully I do. But if not, then I hope that she just knows through the ether that we appreciate and love her.
Yeah. I was going to say Reeves, but it's Reed. Pamela Reed and Phil Reeves.
Correct. Oh, yeah. Both PR.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I love this little Christmas corral that's happening, this little moment.
With the, and then Mark the Santa's behind. Anne.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then April shares a glance / little hug friend moment with Andy. Cute.
I like beautiful the present exchange. Yeah. I love the beautiful present exchange here at the end.
Oh, yeah,
too.
The tag. Uh-huh. I love it, too.
Yes. And I think it's so perfect, this interaction between Anne and, I want to say Paul, but that's his name in real life.
Right.
Mark. You know, I think it's just great because she's like, got you Pacers tickets. And, you know, he's like, I got you another gift. You don't have to come with me,
which yeah, exactly.
I can't relate to, because I love going to sporting events. I feel like you're the same as me, but like,
yeah, I can be totally interested in going, but I think it's a nice option.
Mm-hmm. I think it's funny and relatable to a lot of women. And that's why I was able to get it and appreciate it at the same time.
Totally.
So, but yeah, and I love the look that Ron has when Leslie comes back in and he's like, all right, take all the work. Just take the work back.
I love it too.
So
also, we missed before the Mark thing, April gives Andy that gift. It's like waiting on the shoe shine. And he's like really freaked out about it and loves it. And he screams out like, Reggie Wayne.
I wonder if she put her name on it. Or she just gave it to him.
Good question. I don't know, because yeah, I would hope that Andy's smart enough to know that it's from her if she didn't put her name on there. I know, Holly, you can't. You just can't.
I love him to death, but you can't trust that his brain went there.
I hope she put her name on there, but you know, it would seem like such a move also to not. So interesting. We'll have to go back and double check that, because it didn't look like there was a card or anything, but she could have written it on the front or something.
She could have, yeah.
So either way. Yeah. But yeah, back to when Ron hands Leslie her work back. Her little updo is very cute.
I love it. I love. Oh my gosh. Yeah, I love
it. Super cute. Lots of messages that Ron doesn't understand. It's just so beautiful and lovely because you see everyone staring at her, glancing at her, appreciating her as she walks back in and takes her seat and starts to make these calls. And there's just this unspoken gratitude and respect for her because they don't really say it out loud. You know, no, they don't have that moment. I hope she can feel it. I get the impression that she feels it, that she's respected. And it kind of goes back to that talking head just a little bit. I don't think we talked about it after the tree lighting ceremony or tree lit ceremony. No, tree lighting is correct. But anyway,
yeah.
She has that talking head of like, you know, would what's his name like show his butt on TV kind of thing. Maybe not towards the end of the of his life.
Yes, maybe Winston Churchill.
Yes, exactly. But I think he would have. If he could have, because he loved his job.
Yeah.
And I think that this episode is really where we see, I mean, we knew this before, but this is where it's so plain as day, clear as night, that, you know, she loves her job and she loves this town and she'll do anything to help it, you know?
Yeah. And I think these last glances, too, that she's getting are the setup of the tribe that kind of... Mm-hmm. lifts her up throughout the seasons, because there are a lot of moments, as we know, where she's not appreciated by the town, where she's shot down, and these are the people that keep her standing, you know, and they don't always say it. They, you know, sometimes they butt heads. They don't always show, you know, but they show their appreciation by always having her back.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it just shows itself over and over again, because these people are reciprocated, or at least try their best. They can't reciprocate on Leslie's level, obviously, because it's impossible, but they try really hard. And especially that one line. And I know at this point we've jumped all over the place, but when she starts running and Ron has that line of like, name one person here who you haven't put your life on hold for, you know?
Right.
And I think that really is kind of so indicative of the whole series, really.
Yeah, agreed.
So, but
well,
that's the end of that my tag, or the end of my notes.
Yeah, the end of Christmas Scandal. And next week we'll probably have our interview, but the following episode that we'll be looking at is the setup, so it'll be a good time to have some Will Arnett Amy Poehler action.
Yes, lots of history. A little Fleetwood Mac type situation. Not really. Not really at all. But
no.
some drama, some controversy. But not really at all, even then, because they don't have any real drama.
No.
No,
they seem cool.
Yeah, maybe I can. I don't know. I'll message his agents too. I don't know. Maybe he'll email me and say something. And then maybe he'll talk about it on Smartless, his podcast, and we'll get 800,000 bajillion followers.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I like that podcast.
Yeah, me too. Oh, speaking of which, I do want to thank everybody who has been writing reviews. We had only, I think it was 9 or 10 reviews, and now we have 21.
So, good job, guys.
Yes.
Thank you.
Much massive applause to you guys for doing that for us, because that super, super helps. I love it so much. So, and I love reading those reviews. It just gives us the energy and the fire to keep going. I mean, not that I would stop at any point, but it just really is some nice affirmation.
Yeah. So keep it up. Tell your friends, if they listen with you and they haven't done it yet, to go and subscribe. Like, comment, share our posts on Instagram and Facebook and all the things.
All the things, yes. And then if you have any questions, as always, you can let us know. But yeah, that's pretty much it for me.
Me too. We will see you next time.
Yes, we will see you next time. I think that since I am dog sitting, again, shout out to Ben and Mallory, that I might not have a therapy moment, if that's okay.
That's totally fine with me.
Unless you want to do like a shorter one.
I'm good either way. I don't have too much crap going on. Okay. I mean, Holly and I were very blessed to spend last weekend together.
Yeah, yes. We can talk about that. We went dress shopping. We did. So fun.
Yeah. And the thing I liked was that we had a little moment by ourselves the night before. Yeah,
that was really special.
Yeah, and that was nice because I felt like even though we did talk a little bit about wedding stuff, I think we did have a good chunk of time where we weren't talking about wedding stuff and we were just having friend talks. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's really important. And we talk about that absolutely. A lot. So
I love wedding talk, though, so I'm all about it. I'm excited to, we talked a little bit about the Bachelorette thing, which I have not solidified yet, but I will keep you posted on like what we should do. We have time, obviously.
We
but,
do. We have a little bit, yeah.
But yeah. And then you were sending me some swatches of bridesmaids colors, which I think would be really cute. I loved all the colors, so I'm down to wear any of those.
I think we found the swatch. I'll send you the picture.
Oh, nice.
That will be used for their suits.
Oh, nice. Okay, great. That's excellent.
Which I thought it was easier to choose theirs and then build the bridesmaid colors with it because I love most blues.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to do a navy suit because he already has one that he wears to almost everything. So he's like, I want it to be a different suit. So I was like, all right, here are our colors.
A special occasion, not something that was worn for anything else.
Right.
Correct.
So.
Okay, awesome. Yeah, I'm excited to see you two together with your pictures. Maddie's dress is so beautiful and perfect and flowy and ethereal. And it's just like amazing.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. It's very hard to not say anything
about it. It's so amazing. You're going to have to keep that for a year, but that's okay.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, it's going to be so worth it. But yeah,
it was a lovely weekend, and we got to do so many things. I'm glad that your mom's got to hang out as well, and then I got to meet Ivan's sisters. That was really special. So, yay, I'm glad.
Yay. And yep, we are going to get, and I was talking about this the other day too, like, we... I don't know if you guys know, but it's hard to balance adult relationships when you don't live in the same place. Mm-hmm. And then we added the podcast onto our friendship, which I think has built on our friendship where we have to be just completely honest with our communication and everything. I think it's helped us grow our friendship. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you have to think about that too, guys. We're trying to put time in for the podcast, but then also put time in for friend time. And then now we're also trying to put time in for wedding planning. Mm-hmm. So it's fine. We're queens and we're going to make it happen. But it's, you know, it's going to, I think, just again, build our friendship more and more. So
yeah,
I'm excited.
It's just something to navigate. I mean, you know, you do the best that you can with what you've got. And, you know, it's nice when each person is open to hearing the others. So that's really what's important. And just, you know, managing expectations is also really helpful. So yeah,
definitely. Okay.
Yay! Well, we'll see you next week, hopefully, if not in 2 weeks, but I think it'll be next week, which is very exciting. And again, as always, let us know what your thoughts are. And if there's anyone that has been a part of the show, let us know that too. We do have an email if anyone is interested. It's parkpalspodcast@gmail.com. But if not, just follow us on Instagram. I do check the DMs as well. So, but yeah, thanks again for listening. Thanks so much for all of your reviews. And we hope you have a lovely week. Be careful out there.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
There's a park and some pals, and there's also therapy, too.